Okay, so we're going to, this week is about rescuing relationships. So hopefully we are, with most of it, going well. So in that sense, we're trying to help you to avoid challenges. But maybe there are some issues, and we're gonna help you. We're very practical tonight and help you how to handle it. So just quickly want to, guys, just want to say well done. Well done, because I'm sure you were the guy, the men were the person in that relationship saying, honey, we need to come tonight. We really need to come tonight. It's very important. Okay, so guys, well done for that. Okay, proud of you. Okay, so guys, what would you prefer? Would you want to take your car in for service once a year? You know, as a schlep, every year you pay a little thing. Or would you rather not service it for 4 or 5 years and let the engine just sort of blow up? What would you prefer? Service every year. Come on, okay? So it's the same in terms of marriage, you know. Sometimes we guys especially, you know, we do crisis management. You pick up your wife, she's not herself anymore, she's not talking, you know, it's like she doesn't look so great. And you think, maybe leave another week or two, and then you, maybe another month, and then you think, okay, maybe we need to work at it now, okay? So we do crisis management. Tonight is to help you to do more preventative measures to take your marriage to another level. Okay, and so this evening we're going to focus on fighting fair, okay? But just want to recap quickly. On Sunday, I spoke about falling out of love, and I shared that we don't actually fall out of love, we fall out of repentance. What does that mean? That means we stop saying, I'm sorry, we stop saying, I forgive you, we stop living in that space, and then our hearts become hard. You know, your nice little red heart becomes a bit hard and dark and bitter and angry and irritated, and this woman or this guy, you know, oh, you know, men, you know. So it can hit you, and you get a black heart. And then it feels as if there's no love in the relationship, but actually it's just your heart is a little bit hard. The moment you actually repent or say, I forgive you, I'm sorry, then your heart turns. The wall is gone. The love flows back. The love flows back. Eh? After a good fight, you know, reconciliation's wonderful. Eh? Come on. Eh? It's like honeymoon all over. It's wonderful. So, and what I shared on Sunday is the issue isn't the issue. Most probably. Maybe you say there are some issues in our relationship. The truth is, the issue probably isn't the real issue. The issue is our hearts. If we move back from it's the finances or it's the intimacy or it's this or that, often it just comes back to our hearts, the state of our hearts. And I shared this on Sunday, that our heart, it's the seat or the center of our relationships. The state of your heart will determine the state of your relationship with your partner. The state of your heart will determine the state of your relationship. And so often we look at all the issues, but it actually distracts us from the real issue, our hearts. Okay, so this whole week is about talking about our hearts. You can download this past Sunday's message if you missed it. But this also, the state of your heart will enable you, will determine your ability to handle conflict. Okay, so just a quick test. Conflict. Who has had conflict in their marriage? I'm shocked. It's actually very normal. Every now and again, my wife would ask me, is it just us that fight so much? Then I tell her, honey, no, other people fight much more. Trust me, I speak to them. I know, it's open warfare. We have a wonderful marriage. Conflict is part of a normal relationship. Conflict isn't negative, conflict isn't bad. The issue is how do you handle the conflict? If you handle it right, it's actually awesome. It really is. It really is actually a tool to bring reconciliation and unity. It's actually a tool to remove the black, the hardness of our hearts. If conflict is handled correctly, it brings new hearts, healthy hearts. Okay, so we're going to get into speak about conflict. I just want to pray for us. We're going to really get into it. Father, we thank you for this evening. God, we honor you as the God who is the creator, the designer of a man and a woman. God, we thank you that you're the author of marriage. You have designed it to be mysterious and challenging and adventurous. God, we bless you. We honor you. And we just welcome you here tonight, Lord. Speak to us. Lead us. Come and minister to every heart here, Lord God. We pray that we would be encouraged tonight and grow closer to one another as couples. In the name of Jesus. God, just lead us and minister. Speak to each of us in your own special way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so conflict is good if it is handled correctly. There's an image about a heart there. Was it one before that, the heart? Ah, love, volatile. You have water on the one side, fire on the other side. It's like God has specially designed it, a man in a certain way and a woman in a certain way. It's like water and fire. It is designed for a good clash, okay? God has designed it in a way that would actually say, okay, I need help. I need help here. Okay, but so love can be very volatile. Marriages can be very volatile. But so the first thing is, I want to encourage you, if you're having a bit of conflict, other people are also having conflict, okay? So it's not just you. I often see when people actually realize that other people are having the same issue, it actually so encourages, okay, we're not weird. It's not the end of the world. We're gonna get through this. Okay, so conflict is part of the game. And if it is good if it's handled correctly. It's a nightmare if it is handled incorrectly. So how we handle conflict will determine if we will keep standing to the end in our relationships. If we handle conflict correctly, as I said, it removes the wall that's built around us. If we handle it correctly, if we handle it incorrectly, you could have a spouse with a lovely, positive, red heart. And because of handling conflict wrongly, your heart was in good space, you said stuff you shouldn't have said, then you can actually inflict wounds. So conflict can be very dangerous, but it needn't be. So we're going to give you a few tips this evening how to handle it, okay? So sometimes people could say, well, we don't have any conflict. That's actually not very good. There's a story of a husband and wife. In their case, the lady was a peacekeeper. Not a peacemaker, peacekeeper. So she would just back off. The man would just bulldoze the thing the whole time. He'd just bulldoze. He'd have his way. She'd just back off, back off, back off. And then after 15 years of marriage, the guy came home the one evening and his wife packed a bag. She was gone. And he still doesn't know why she left. But they never actually engaged in conflict. They never actually spoke through things. So that's actually very good. You need to speak. It's good to speak through things. It's good to find one another. Now, for me and Sonica, our first fight that I can sort of clearly remember, we weren't married yet, and we were invited to a wedding, and so we were driving in the car, and she had the map on with her. And I was asking her, should I turn? Should I turn here? Or we were trying to find our way. And then in the end, it was quite a bit of a blow up. It's like, woman, don't you know direction, type of thing. And then she sort of said, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it came down to, okay, well, yeah, take it. It's yours. Leave me alone. That was about 13 years ago. We have since then never done the map on her side. We have now a game plan. We have really conflict about this because we learned from our first conflict. We learned this doesn't work. So we changed, new game plan, GPS, me and God, me and Jesus, we sorted out. And she just chills and enjoys the view, and the marriage is wonderful. Okay, so if you don't know that, those who are not married yet, if you don't know this, dude, keep the map with you. Okay, so, and the key of the conflict, the key thing about conflict was learn from it, okay? Don't do the same mistakes over and over. If conflict is handled correctly, it's a wonderful tool to increase the unity and to increase the healing. It's actually adventurous. I mean, in the moment, it's not fun, okay? Tell you a few stories still, but it's not fun. But in the process, you actually come to find out your wife's heart. You've come to understand her better. First, you think she's weird. And then you find out, okay, all women think like this. And then you learn, you learn about it. Okay, so effective conflict management is a brilliant tool, actually, to increase the unity in the marriage. The win of the relationship isn't no conflict. That's not a win. It's like, oh, we haven't fought in 20 years. That's not a win. The win is to, if there's conflict, to reconcile. In other words, you get the black away, the bitterness, anger, and get back to this. But also, to second thing is to get a game plan. To get a game plan. From that moment, whatever it was, get a game plan to avoid that same, don't go around the same bush over and over and over again. Okay, so that's very important. So we're going to talk about that in a moment as well. So you want to break down the middle wall of separation, the between the two of you. And for instance, I remember young, we were just married for a year or two or so, I think. We were walking in the mall, and then my wife would maybe say something, and suddenly I am upset. I just go quiet. I don't want to take her hand, and I just walk. Guys, do you do that? Is it just me? Yeah, I hope it's not just me. But anyway, so I'm just, and then suddenly she asked, what's wrong? Nothing, you know? And the weird thing is, I don't even know why I'm upset, but I'm upset. And, and then I tell her, I'm upset. And then she's upset. And now we we go in the circle of trying to figure out, why am I upset? And how are we going to get this now reconciled? Anybody experienced that before? Something like that? You have? Come on. Okay. So the weird thing is, you might be angry or you might be upset. You don't even know. Okay, guys, have you ever asked? This happens every now and again with us. Driving in the car. I don't know if I'm telepathic or something, but I just feel. I'm just driving and I know. What's wrong? And she doesn't want to say, you know. She's like, she's trying to hide it, but I know, because I can feel our inner unity has been disturbed. So I just know. And then I'm not going to tell you. She doesn't want to tell me, you know. So, okay, now you can choose. I'm going to start negotiating. Okay, so you want to now suffer for the rest of the day, or you want to tell me? So we can sort it out. We can go on and enjoy the rest of the day. And then sometimes she would not say, and then sometimes she would tell me. And then she says, no, you're going to be upset. No, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be upset. You know, I'm happy. I'm singing. I'm smiling. And then she tells me, then I'm saying, I'm upset. It's like, no, I can't believe you upset about that. So now I'm upset, she's upset that I'm upset, and I'm upset that she's upset. And so it's like this circle of craziness, you know, that you just go on. You know, and the challenging thing is, if you're in that scenario, you know, what you do then is defining. You can resolve the issue in a very short amount of time, or it can blow up and it can be days or weeks. I mean, I speak to people, sometimes they fight, they don't speak for a week. You know, they're just like angry, you know, blame one another, punish one another. It's not a good idea. It's like when sometimes happens with us, I would be upset, and I'd walk away, yeah, I'm trying to get my head clear, and I'm go read my Bible, I go read the newspaper or something, and I'd sit there, and then I have this gentle knock on my heart. It's like the Holy Spirit coming. Come on, you're punishing her. Go make right. Go to her. You know, she knows she's upset. No, go away. No, I don't want her. You know. And then I go, okay. Then I get up and then I go to her. And then I, okay, siamat lifi, you know. And then we reconcile. I shared this on Sunday as well. But the Holy Spirit, God wants us to reconcile. You know, He doesn't want us to hurt one another in the midst of the conflict. But the challenge is, and I found this to be one of the dangers, stubbornness. If you have a stubborn party, or you have two stubborn parties, you have action. You know? And so this part of the challenge, you know, is to actually just humble yourself and say, okay, let's talk, let's sort it out. You know, but the issue often is, the issue often with conflict is that your heart wasn't in a good space. And so then you like say stuff that you shouldn't, or, you know, so the issue isn't the issue. The issue is often very much our hearts. There was a study by two guys. They said it revealed that neither money or sexual difficulty or lack of communication necessarily account for divorce. Rather, one of the best predictors of couple success in marriage is simply how they handle conflict. Interesting. So they say they did a study. They found that the issues aren't the issue. The issue is actually how do you deal with the issue? How do you manage the conflict? So how we handle the conflict is a matter of the heart, but also it's a matter of learning a few skills. Okay, so we're going to give you a few tips of how to handle it. You know, if you have big walls around your heart or a bitter heart and you're trying to reconcile, it goes south very quickly. It really goes into action. So even successful couples have disagreements and difficulties. It's not a crisis, but it's just how you negotiate it. And for me and Sonika, what works very well is, you know, when we often come to like something new, we have never experienced this scenario before, so we haven't dealt it. So yeah, okay, right, conflict situation. We need to talk about it. We need to sort this out. Good example would be a few years ago, we went to a wedding. I wasn't doing the wedding. Somebody else was doing the wedding. It was quite cool outside wedding. And then my wife was dressed nice and warm. I was nice and warm. And then there was a lady in church, single girl in church. And she didn't have much on and she was really cold. And so I did what an honorable man would do. You ready? Yeah, you hear it. I spoke to the singles last night. The guys didn't have a cooking clue. They didn't have a clue. Okay, but I helped them. I asked this girl, well, would you want my jacket? You know, you're cold and so forth, you know. And I could feel an icy, emotional look, stare from my wife. And I looked at her like, what's wrong? I am doing the honorable thing here. I am helping out a girl. I mean, I'm the pastor of the church. She's in the church. I should be nice to her. That's what you do. My wife wasn't happy. And she wasn't happy, and so I wasn't happy. What's wrong with you, woman? You know, it's like, I am not interested in her. There's no issues. I mean, it's like, don't be so jealous, you know? It's like, so now we're going through that. So now at the wedding, they gave out like free drinks. Now I took a Hunter's Dry, and now I've got my Hunter's Dry, and so I'm seeing this is going south at an incredible speed. So we walked to the other side of the venue, and we were standing outside. Now I'm standing with my Hunter's Dry on the one end. I'm standing with a very, very upset woman on the other side, and we're trying to find, and my temper is going, and she's in tears are going, and I'm thinking, everybody that's seeing us is thinking, you pig, you pig. Okay, so now I'm, you know, and then the worst happens. The pastor that did the wedding, he comes driving past at 5 kilometers per hour with his wife and his kids. And I'm standing with my Hunter's Dry and my wife and the tears falling in the sand. And I'm thinking, yep, yeah, you're a pig. So this is incredibly humbling. I'm like, you know. And so in the end, you know, I cool down and I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it at first. I'm sorry. You know, just say something to sort this out. I'm sorry. You know, so we tried to, okay, and then it sort of, we reconciled and it was better and so forth. And the amazing thing is I actually spoke to other women about this and they said as well, you don't give your jacket to another guy. A girl, you know, it's like wrong. Because for a girl, you know, when you give your jacket to her, it's very special. It's like you value her. She's precious, you know. So I wasn't focusing. I didn't realize this was a new crossroads for us, a new bridge we had to. So we evaluated game plan, got a game plan. Now we know women, you cold. Oh, I've stuffed. Okay, so find yourself a guy. Okay. So we have our game plan. it will hopefully never happen again. But I found, I learned something about my wife. I learned that what, and I'm going to speak to the guys afterwards about this, just the symbolism. These ladies think in symbolic language, you know. So that jacket, you think honor. Help the girl, they think. You traitor, you know. So, anyway, so we're gonna look at that. Okay, so is conflict nice in the moment? I mean, when I was standing out that side that place, like, yes, I was, like, not happier. And but afterwards, it was actually amazing, you know, to talk through things, to find one another, to reconcile. And the challenge is to reconcile as soon as possible. Don't drag it out, okay? Don't drag it out. There's a scripture that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't go to bed without dealing with it, without sorting it out, you know. Because what happens is if you don't deal with it, you add a little bit of black. You add a little bit of bitterness. You add a little bit of mistrust. It adds little by little. You think it hasn't, but it has. If you don't, you need to resolve. Okay, guys, so often we think, I mean, just drop it, you know. Drop it. Let's go on. It's not an issue. Let's go on. But for a woman, I'm generalizing, but they need to find, they need to resolve it in their hearts. They need to feel, you know, we found one another, he still loves me, and so forth. Okay, so conflict is good if you handle it correctly. Okay, so four harmful responses to conflict. After this, the four things, I'm going to ask you in the couples to quickly turn to one another and evaluate which one of those four do you, you're not allowed to point finger at the other one, okay? You don't say, yeah, yes, sir, you are like this. You, each one must evaluate themselves and say, well, I think, you know, the area I'm going to work on, maybe that one. Okay, so the first one is peace at all costs. It's avoidance. It's the peacekeeper. Some deal with conflict by never dealing with it at all. Okay, they run away from it. Conflict for them is bad. I don't want it. It's not good. I run away. Conflict is not bad. Okay, conflict is good. It's just how you handle it. So some, because of that, they believe that there's no benefit that will arise through the struggle of trying to resolve the differences, so they'd rather back out from it. And so, as I shared that story of the guy and the woman, you know, she was just backing down the whole time. He was bulldozing. He never actually listened to her, allowed her to speak her heart. After 15 years of marriage, she walked because of the bitterness just added and added and added, and just don't want to be in this anymore. Okay, so one party can easily be the avoider who withdraws at the onset of the problem. For instance, with us, Sonica would more avoid, in a sense, when we were, especially starting off in marriage, she would not so easily talk. I would be, I want to talk, you know, I'm more the in your face, let's go for it, you know, let's sort it out, you know. And she would more back down. You know, she has over the years learned also to communicate, to share her heart, but I need to allow her to. If I am too aggressive, in a sense, then she would shut down. Okay, so it depends on people's personalities. So you need to give your own heart an opportunity to get restored. In other words, say you're the peacekeeper one, you back out the whole time. You could be in a situation you never find, you never get that resolution of the issue, okay? So you need to, for your own sake, you need to speak nicely so it can be resolved. Okay, that's the first one, peacekeeper one. The second one is the win-lose. It's being defensive. A harmful response to conflict is the tendency to view it as a win-lose situation. Such people usually approach any confrontation or disagreement as an attack. In other words, you're immediately defensive. Isn't so, no way, you know, and therefore they assume a defensive posture. The major problem with this approach is that a person can't possibly hear one's partner. You can't empathize with his or her needs and meaningfully convey that one has heard the other one when the person is engaged in frenetic self-defense. In other words, you can't listen to the other one if you're in defense, okay? So defense is a problem, but real listening, which means treating your partner with basic dignity, requires seeking first to understand him or her, and only then trying to be understood. So your heart needs to be in a good space so you can handle the conflict in the best way. And so sometimes you need to do, okay, you're in the conflict, you need to take a break, cool down, just get peace again, just get peace in my heart. If I don't have peace, now I say stuff I should not be saying. Okay, and then it's much worse. So think team. Think opportunity for us to grow and to move forward. Don't think defensive. Okay. The third one is you don't count, or invalidation. Invalidation defined is a pattern in which one partner subtly or directly puts down the thoughts, feelings, or character of the other. So it can be subtle, subtly putting down the thoughts, feelings, or character of the other one. This is not just disagreeing with your partner or not liking something he or she has done. It's a form of disregard, disrespect, and insensitivity. Statements such as, you're just overreacting. You don't feel that way. Which is a silly thing to say. How do you know she doesn't feel that way or he doesn't feel like that? And if you think that, then you're stupid. Okay, try that one out. You're going to have fun. Okay, just guaranteed. You're going to have some good fun with that one. Okay, but they're good examples of invalidation. You know, you assume what's going on in the other person and you break them down. So how can you tell someone, how can we tell someone else what they are feeling? And just remember this, guys, I can speak on behalf of the guys. Guys, women are different. Do you know that? Ladies, guys are different. Don't treat him like a girl. Guys, don't treat him like a guy. We're different. We are so different. And that's part of the adventure, you know, to try and discover how they are wired and what's valuable to them. Okay. I'm often quite amazed when I, over the years, I'm amazed at the things that I couldn't figure out why. You know, you can't figure everything out, but you just need to know that it is important for your spouse. So sometimes I listen to Sonika, she'd share how a woman feels about it. I'm thinking, really? Okay, never thought that. Okay, but invalidation always includes an element of judgment, often with some form of disdain. There's no place for this in a relationship. Okay, so that's the third one. You don't count. And then the fourth one is all-out war. Okay, that's like good World War III type of thing. It just gets worse and worse. Intensification. It's a pattern of aggressive fighting with increasing intensity that often leads to an out-of-control situation. Usually verbal in nature, the fighting is really just a yelling match in which the object of the game is to yell the loudest. The most damaging of all unhealthy fighting tactics. It's very unhealthy. All-out war can include insults, criticism, name-calling, and even physical violence. So cruel things are said and done that can never be taken back. And that's a challenge. Okay, so I think this one especially would happen if both parties are stubborn. So then you just go for it. You know, no one wants to back down. So if I wasn't married to my wife in the way that she's wired, I'm sure we could have had a few all-out wars, because I am more like, I'm not going to back down type of thing. I'm getting better, I think, but it depends on the personalities, you know. If you both have like two aggressive personalities that want to say your say, then you're going to have action. So you need to understand how the other one is wired. Okay, so conflict management and the skills that come with it is critical for a healthy marriage. Okay, so quickly turn to your partner. I think we have it up there. So your job is to say, in which one of those four would you say you are the weakest in a sense, or you were the strongest in a sense that you the peacemaker, or you go defensive, or you might sometimes say stuff that puts the other one down, or, you know, we do all out war sometimes. Okay, go for it. Have a quick chat. Just a minute. You can just quickly get a feel. No fighting now allowed. No fighting is allowed. Okay, so it's good to understand. It's good to understand your own weaknesses. You know, so for instance, Sonika would be a little bit more number one. It's not like she just tries to say everything's fine and it isn't fine. I mean, we need to find a resolution. But I might do a little bit more number two, a little bit more defensive. Okay, it's like. I don't know, guys, sometimes we do it, but it's like when our honor is touched, you know, then we sort of go defensive. So Sonika in the past, a while ago, she would come to me and she just sort of said, you know, it'd be really nice, yeah, if you just bring me flowers, you know, every now and again. Now, that sounds so innocent. For me, it's like, what? You know, now you expect me now to bring flowers. I don't want to do what you expect me to do. You know, I want to bring it because I want to do it. I want to do it because I want to bless you. And I want it because you, yeah. So, you know, defensive, you know, not a good idea. Then go defensive, just say, okay, I'll try, I'll get a game plan. Guys, we're going to talk about a game plan afterwards. That was 5 years ago. Was it 12 years ago? Long time ago. My wife says long time ago. Come on. Okay, good. Yes, I'm better. I'm growing. My wife says I am very good. I just want to record this. But it doesn't come naturally, okay? For guys, you know, often we would, before wedding day, we'll fight for our girl, you know, do the flowers, romance, do all this stuff. We hit wedding day and we say, yeah, TV, lekker, rugby, come on. Life's good. I have my babe. We're in love. I told her 2 years ago I love her. It's lekker, you know? And so we just go on. Bad idea. Okay. But guys, we're going to talk about that later. Okay. Five fair fighting techniques. Okay, here's the skills we're going to quickly look at. Five skills. The first one is dial down. Okay, so you hit the conflict. You're having some action. This can revolutionize your marriage. If you start doing this, I tell you, it can really change your marriage, it can really change your life in an amazing way. Okay, so the first one is dialed down. What is that? It's a timeout. Time out. You must calm down before you can expect to communicate with your partner. No one wants to discuss issues or differences when they are feeling attacked by you. Okay, if you go on the attack, they will go on the defense. So you need to dial down. Don't seize the moment. Sometimes we feel great. Now I'm going to go for it. You know, she did it again, or he did it again. Now it's like months of things have been worked up. Now you take out your bazooka, and it's like, you go for it. Okay? Don't do that. Don't just say, heck, I just feel like it now. Don't go by your feelings. Our feelings lie to us. An hour later, you think, what an idiot. Okay? I've been there. Don't do that, okay? It's a recipe for disaster. They say, physiologically speaking, men need a minimum of 20 minutes to allow themselves to calm down. Hearts race, breathing quickens, adrenaline floods the system in anger, and the 20 minutes of cool down time allows the symptoms to subside. Now, some of you say, I wish I knew that. It's a physiological thing. So you don't have you're angry, you're upset, and you can't. You need to then hold your horses. Okay, so it depends on who's the more aggressive one in of the two. But you need to. They're not saying the women how long they have. I don't know. They just say the men have 20 minutes. We're predictable. 20 minutes clock. Come on, click. Say again. Oh, still researching. Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out. Okay. If you need more time, take more time, but don't punish your partner. Don't punish your partner. That partner. That often feels like, you know, I can go, you know, I'm generalizing. I think our guys we handle it maybe in a sense we can just go do our own thing for a while. And sometimes the ladies take it worse because the relationship to them naturally is just so important, that unity and agreement, it's critical for them more than it is, I think, for us guys. Obviously, we want it as well, but I think it just in terms of importance, it's more important for them, you know. I'm generalizing. It's not necessarily for everybody like that. But so we need to understand that, take that break, find one another, or find your peace, and then speak to one another. Okay, reconcile as soon as possible. Okay, that's the first one, dial down. Second one, set the tone. So you've taken your first few minutes out. You've gone to sort out your head and heart. Then the first few minutes of any interaction, it's critical. It sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. And it's that simple. Approach your partner in a tender, gentle manner. And this opens the door for reconciliation. I have found this so often. My tone of voice is just a little bit high and a little bit loud. And then she said, don't scream at me. I'm not screaming at you. I'm just talking loudly. But for her, if I'm normally talking like this, anything a little bit higher is like, it just feels a bit more aggressive. So how do you get the reconciliation thing going? How do you set the tone? Say, I am sorry. That's the best way to go to take the other person out of defense. So even if it's your if you think it's just 5% your fault, both parties are probably thinking it's 5% their fault. That's how it normally works. But take responsibility for your 5% and just say, I'm really sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I upset you. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry. You know, you don't have to say sorry for something you didn't do, but you can say sorry. I'm sorry for my tone of voice. I'm sorry for misunderstanding you. And I mean, we found in our relationship, I mean, it's like instant. Hallelujah. Instant. It really is. If you don't have loads of baggage, then you can really go quickly back to being reconciled. Obviously, if there's loads of baggage, then it's going to take time. But if you continuously deal with the baggage, then it's simple. It's just this issue. But I think if there's baggage, it's not just this issue. 10 years ago, you did this. Not a good idea. You know, so we never go there because we've dealt with all our, in general, I think we've dealt with everything. So it's always just the issue and not all the other issues. Okay, so set the tone. A gentle answer turns away wrath. It's something I picked up the last few months with myself. I shared about this in church as well, but I've been a little bit overly sensitive. You know, my wife would say something, and then I'm just like, yeah, I'm not upset. You know, she would just say something, and not massive, it's not like really bad. I just feel like dishonored. And I mean, my wife honors me like no woman on the planet. I mean, she's really awesome. But I realized that I'm overly sensitive, and then I would do a sharp answer back. And the sharp answer would be, you know, then you start going play ping pong, you know. And if you would just go gentle answer, just give grace. I spoke about this on Sunday, unconditional love. Unconditional love means my wife can say something even ugly to me, I'm going to turn back and say, I love you. It's okay. Just love you. Just for who you are. I don't love you because of doing everything perfectly. I just love you. I'm committed to you, even if you sometimes say something or do something that disappointed me. That's unconditional love. That's what it should be like in our marriages. But is it? It often isn't, you know, especially in our marriage relationship. You might give somebody at work more grace. You might give somebody somewhere else more compassion. But when we come home, it's like we are less compassionate. Don't know if it just sometimes happens. You know, we get used to one another, less compassionate. And God convicted me about this, saying, are you loving your wife unconditionally, or are you overly sensitive and selfish? Option number B. And so I realized, get over it, love your wife, she's awesome, nobody's perfect. Okay, so that's the one. Second one is set the tone. Gentle answer. That's where you sometimes need to get your 20 minutes so you can tone down, okay? Choose to speak with kindness and gentleness. Third one, brilliant one, listen to this one. Shut up and listen. Shut up and listen. When was the last time you had a disagreement with your partner and your main focus was on trying to really hear your partner? Normally doesn't work like that. You're upset, you're defensive, you want to be heard, you know. So our natural tendency is to be heard. We want to get our deal in. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. Guys, ladies are different than us. So we need to listen. Okay. You are upset that I gave my jacket, wanted to give my jacket. I didn't even give it, I just wanted to. Okay. Explain to me. Let's just cool down before you say women are weird. Just calm down and listen until you actually hear her heart. Both ways. Okay? So maybe for the guys, ladies, you can't understand why he wants to watch the rugby. Then he will explain to you, this is an important game. It's a very important game. I tell my wife almost every weekend, this is an important game. And for you, ladies, you might think they're really silly. You know, these guys are the silly ball, and you know, they kick it and they run off it, and they, you know, that's stupid. For us guys, it's legendary. It's amazing, okay? So you need to just take it for what it is. Don't try and figure it out. Just understand it's important for him. So he's watching. The guy's got the ball. He's about to score the try. Don't stand in front of the TV, okay? Please. Not now. I'll take the rubbish out later. He's so insensitive. He's just wanting to watch the game. Afterwards, I'll take the rubbish out 5 times, okay? So just give one another grace. Listen to understand. Get into your partner's world to understand why. It's like, I'm not big on golf, but some of the guys are big on golf. You know, they really want the little ball to get into the hole. You know, even for me, I need to. It's too small, man. You need a bigger ball. Bigger ball, Jimmy. Bigger one. Okay. So listen. Listen to one another. Okay? And then, guys, you should know this. You should know this. Don't try and solve the issue. Don't try and solve the issue. Just listen. You need to get this. Just listen. Guys, all together. Just listen. Let's try that again. Just listen. No solutions. Don't solve it. Don't try and tell her how this Bible verse is perfect for your situation. I often do that. I do this often. A while ago, my favorite, I couldn't help it. I'm listening, and before I could help myself, I'm like saying, there's so many things we can be thankful for. You know, just think of all the things we can be thankful for. And I think, yeah, it's not working. Get that look. I am thankful, you know. And then the one time again, I was just starting. You know, you should just be more. And I shouldn't say that. I said something else, but it sounded the same. So I was still. It didn't work. Okay, so don't do Bible darts. Okay, you know Bible darts, like whoosh, John 3, this fatsua. Be more thankful. Okay, and then the other one comes back, be more kind, honor your wife, you know. Okay, don't do Bible dots, not a good idea. Just listen, don't try and solve. Often just listening actually solves the whole issue. Okay, and then you can have empathy. You know, empathy is to convey that you get it. So you must listen, and listen some more, and listen some more. And then you must give feedback. You say, so what you're saying to me, I understand that this, I understand. Honestly, when you actually listen, then you start understanding. Guys, I'm speaking to the guys. You know, for a woman, you know, when there's a baby, when she's mom and wife and she's working, you know, it gets complex. All the different hats that they need to put on. You know, then we need to listen, understand. It's tough, you know. It's tough to go through the process. Baby's crying the whole day or night or whatever, you know. Then it's challenging for them, okay? It's like for us, if we had to do that, I mean, I would die. I would honestly die, you know. So we need to give grace. But same way, ladies, we need to listen to our husbands. If it's pressure at work, it's like stacking up, there's deadlines, there are issues. You know, we need to listen and give some grace. So sometimes I would speak to Sonic and say, it's just hectic. Just give me space. Can't now. I just really need to get this through this. Okay, so listen to one another and then show empathy. And so amaze your partner. Next time, just listen. Keep your mouth shut and really seek to understand where your loved one is at. Just really try to understand. Guys, we need to listen. Ladies, need to listen. To try and find. Okay, so that's the third one. Shut up and listen. Fourth one, use I statements. Once you've given your partner a chance to express the other side, and you've genuinely sought to understand your partner first, okay, so you've listened, then it's your turn to communicate your perspective. In order to be effective here, you must stick to I statements. Making I statements includes the ability to personalize and own your perspectives and feelings in such a way that the focus is on you and not on the person. Okay, what does it mean? There's a big difference between saying, I feel hurt when you arrive late from work for our date or our appointment. You know, I feel hurt that you arrive late, compared to, you make me so angry when you show up late for our dates. You know, big difference. The one is, I feel hurt, so the other person won't be defensive. But if you go to, you make this, you do this, then action. Or, honey, I'm battling to cope with everything. It's like if the woman is saying, honey, I'm battling to cope with everything. I feel like the maid feels like all I'm doing is cleaning the house, doing diapers, making food. You know, could you help me in one or two areas? That's manageable. Versus, you don't love me. You don't help out in the house. My dad always helped out at the house. You know, if only you were more like him. Okay, try that one. Woo, puppy. Now you're bringing in the generations. You know, now we're going to have some action. It's going to get fun now. So in the first statement, the focus is on how you feel. So it's very important. Don't accuse. Just come. Just again, trying to help the other person understand why you are upset. When you said that, it really made me feel like a jerk. You know, just try and explain that. The second statement puts emphasis on your partner. Okay, so then that's going defense. It sounds more like an accusation and an attack, which only leads to defensiveness. Using I statements keeps you from criticizing, labeling, accusing, and attacking. Try to explain to your partner how what they did or said made you feel. Okay, so try to bring understanding. And what would happen is if you have been doing peacemaking or peacekeeping, you've just been holding in, and then you explode. Then it's going to come in the wrong way. Okay, so that's why you must deal as quickly as possible. Let's talk about it. Let's sort it out. Okay, so that's the fourth one. Use I statements. Then the last one, get a game plan going. Get a game plan going. Some issues can be resolved by simply talking it out. You just heard one another, it's sorted, it's fixed. You don't have to get a game plan. But quite often, after both partners have had the opportunity to hear the other side in a respectful, mature fashion, they can just drop the issue. But at other times, the differences still present a problem that must be solved. For these times, you need a game plan, or you need a very specific set of guidelines for working toward negotiation and compromise, okay? So it's crossing that new bridge. You've never had this scenario. Now you need to think, okay, right, we had conflict, we resolved it, but now for the future, do we have a game plan? If we hit this scenario again, what are we going to do? Okay, so do you have game plans? First, both of you should have an opportunity to express your desires, needs, feelings, and perspectives about a specific issue. Then you move into problem solving. Okay, so guys, there's a time for problem solving. Okay, after all the nice reconciliation, now we move into the problem solving. Okay, and then just four very quick things, just going to mention it. Four guidelines to getting a working game plan. Number one, identify the problem. All the engineers are going to love this. Okay, identify the problem. For instance, we've had action around this. What movie should we see tonight? Ever had conflict around this one? Ay, ay, ay. So you want to watch a romantic movie. So not in the mood for a romantic movie. You know, I want to see somebody shoot someone. Come on. You know, just somebody kill someone. I want to see blood, guts, you know, some hoorah, you know, taking over the world, something. Okay? So we have a problem. What are we going to do? Okay, so first one, identify the problem. We want to see different movies. Second thing, list possible solutions. Anything's fair game at this stage. Be creative. Throw it out there. You know, like, you go to that cinema, I go to that cinema. Probably not going to work. But put out a few suggestions. Anything goes. You know, it's just like it's brainstorming. Put out a few ideas. And then thirdly, commit to try one or a combination of possible solutions. For example, honey, I love you so much. You pick the movie tonight. Ay, ay, ay. And then I'll pick it next week. Okay? You pick this week, I'll pick it next week. Now, if you watch as few movies as I do, it's very hard to do it. I like, yo, spy and we look for me. But anyway, or you could say, you pick the movie, I pick the restaurant. So you sort of have a game plan for that or something like that. Who's ever had a bit of a conflict around movie watching? None. Oh, wow. I'm impressed. You probably just say we take it all. Okay, we don't watch that many movies. So, fourthly, reevaluate your choice at a later time. In other words, you have your game plan, and now you, a month later, you have to go back and say, okay, let's look at that again and determine if it's still working for us, and then you make a new game plan. Okay, so let's go back to the previous slide. So dial down, set the tone, shut up and listen, use I statements, get a game plan going. So you need determination and perseverance for this. It takes loads of practice, but you don't need to have wild fighting. You can communicate as two mature, respectful adults, and it's very healthy.